It was easy making you people smile. Tell you the truth, I didn't mind doing it. But make no mistake about it, it was a calculated business decision. I made a living at it. I was a businessman, it just also happened to be a giant. See, but all that's over now. Oh, that's so nice. What? That's so good. That's why I love you all so much. See, the reason I don't have to do that anymore and put on that smile is because I have an ironclad contract. I have an ironclad contract with a big fat bonus, which means I'm set for life. Which means I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, to whoever I want, and I don't have to be concerned about putting smiles on you people's faces.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live, and this is SRL on a Monday night.
All right, it's Monday evening, Monday Night Raw, taking place from New Orleans tonight, James.
The New Orleans Arena.
Interesting.
I guess.
My name is Corey Callahan, sitting alongside James McDonald, and this is SRL on a Monday night. And to find this show, you got to head on over to www.smacktalkradiolive.com or join in on facebook.com/smacktalkradio, or if you're hip and cool to the scene, at SRL Radio on Twitter. It's a big night tonight, James, because we're giving away a DVD copy of the 2011 WWE pay-per-view titled Tables, Ladders, Chairs.
With such enjoyable matches as Triple H taking on Kevin Nash.
What else do we have on this pay-per-view?
It's got Big Show taking on Mark Henry. I believe that was a chairs match.
Mm-hmm. We got CM Punk taking on Del Rio and The Miz in a chaotic triple threat match, according to the back of the DVD box.
That's
here.
Right, very chaotic.
And if you want an opportunity to win this DVD, you gotta send us an email with your thoughts and opinions on Monday Night Raw. And you have to send that email to onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. Once again, that's onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. And if your take doesn't suck, we'll read it on the air.
Exactly. So keep that email fresh in your minds, people, because we're going to have a lot more prizes to give out going forward here in the future. So onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. Okay, now that we're done plugging ourselves.
Jesus. I feel like Cartman in that South Park episode when they say free hat. If you put a free hat out there, they'll, people will come. And so they write free hat, and then they have the meeting, and the auditorium is filled. Not because of the free hat, because they were wanting to free hat. I can't remember the guy's last name, but there was a guy in jail named Hat McCauley, I think, like that.
Oh, I think I remember that episode.
Anyways, bad joke, but it worked. All right, Monday Night Raw from New Orleans, like I said tonight, from the New Orleans Arena, I believe it's called.
Yes.
We should make mention that it's No Way Out is the upcoming pay-per-view, June 17th, and that's from East Rutherford, New Jersey. Now, tonight's Raw, it is a holiday down in the States, so it's the Memorial Day edition of Monday Night Raw.
Very heavy patriotic theme to Monday Night Raw tonight.
You know the WWE wastes no time in admitting that they are extremely patriotic to the United States of America.
They're very much behind their country's armed forces.
Mm-hmm. Now, just before we get into the whole show, James, what were your overall thoughts of Monday Night Raw tonight?
Tonight, actually, I was a little bit more impressed with Monday Night with Raw tonight as opposed to previous week's episodes. I thought there's some very solid wrestling tonight on the show. I mean, apart from that Santino, Del Rio match, I thought there's some very good matches tonight.
And I have a feeling that our show tonight is going to be a lot different from the SRLs in the recent weeks that have come and gone, because the last couple weeks you and I have been extremely negative towards Monday Night Raw, but tonight you and I both thought that it was a pretty solid show.
I think you'll see a little bit of positivity come out of us.
All right. Well, let's start the show off We're given an opening video celebrating Memorial Day in the United States, as we had mentioned. Mm-hmm. By the way, happy Memorial Day to the United States from us Canadians up here in Vancouver. After this video, we are then shown an opening video promoting what has happened between John Cena and John Laurinaitis. You know, they show us pictures from Over the Limit, where Laurinaitis was getting his ass handed to him. But then we're also shown John Cena from last week's Raw, where he's just asking the question, what the hell happened? Yeah, so
we got to make a clip of that. We really do.
Yeah, for one of the worst promos of the year. I'm sure that'll end up on the show. Big Show's music hits, and he is going to walk out to start Monday Night Raw off. He's wearing a suit tonight, James. And once he gets in the ring, he has a microphone in hand. He smiles, and he says, "You see this?" And he's smiling. "This is me doing my job. It was easy making you people smile. Make no mistake about it, it was a calculated business decision. I was a businessman who just also happened to be a giant. All that is over now. The reason I don't have to smile anymore is because I have an ironclad contract."
That's right, like we heard off the clip of the top of the show here, yes.
The crowd is actually interrupting the Big Show at this point, and they're chanting John Cena. So we're back to cheers for John Cena.
Well, it's better than booze, I guess.
I know. I'm just amazed at what we heard heading into WrestleMania to what we're hearing now. But
that just goes to show you how easily manipulative what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, no,
manipulated. Yes. A WWE crowd can be.
And Big Show is actually kind of making light of this. You know, he's kind of proving that because, you know, he's saying, "When I smiled, you guys were smiling, and it was a business decision on my part to do that, and you guys fell for it." Right? That's really what he's saying here. Now, he finishes his sentence. He said, "I have an ironclad contract with a big fat bonus, meaning I'm set for life and can do whatever I want, whenever I want, to whoever I want, and I don't have to be concerned with putting smiles on people's faces." Then this one is the one I really enjoy. Big Show goes on to say, "There is no one in my league."
This was kind of funny.
"There is no helmet, shoulder pad, football player. There's no toothpick, noodle arm, basketball player. There's no phony UFC fighter. And certainly no one in the WWE that is in my league. And maybe that's not why. Maybe that's why not one single superstar came to my defense when at the most humiliating moment, I was at my knees begging, this happened." And then he's referencing a video that we see of 2 weeks ago on Monday Night Raw where we see Brodus Clay in the ring after his match with R-Truth. And, you know, he's dancing with kids in the ring. Now, if you remember 2 weeks ago, this Brodus Clay match where he brought kids into the ring and danced with R-Truth, this was after the Big Show got fired. And that was the next segment. Yeah. So, you know, Big Show is basically saying, you know, after I got fired, nobody cared. We were down and out for all of a commercial break, and we come back, and Brodus Clay is in the ring dancing with kids, and everyone's having a good time.
So this is essentially Big Show's explanation for his big heel turn here, is that he didn't receive any sympathy or anything for, I guess, the 20 plus years that he's put into the wrestling business, which I like. It's believable to me.
It's definitely a better explanation than last week, when he said that we don't deserve an explanation.
See, I like that too. That's classic heel.
I didn't like that. He goes on to say, "My tears were not even dry in the ring, and Brodus Clay is out there dancing. Kofi and R-Truth are out there with Brodus yucking it up. And all you guys, speaking of the fans, laughing, having a good time, thinking it's just time to move on. You people, you're so shallow, so phony. One man who disappoints me more than any of you, and that would be John Cena. When I saw Cena in the ring, I thought he was going to fight for his friend. I thought Cena was going to threaten an entire locker room mutiny unless John Laurinaitis hired me back on the spot. Instead, John Cena did this." We're then shown a video of John Cena mocking John Laurinaitis.
That terrible segment from last week. Or was it 2 weeks ago?
I promise will be the worst promo of 2012.
Oh, it was terrible.
Where he was continuously chanting "loser" to John Laurinaitis.
Yeah, he kind of playing on the whole Ace Ventura gimmick that Jim Carrey did back in the 90s.
We then come back to Big Show, who's in the ring. We've all just watched that video together. And he goes on to say, "I guess that's what I am to all of you. A big joke. Well, Cena hurt me when he said he didn't care, and last week I hurt him. Not only did I hurt him, I knocked Cena out twice within 24 hours. Now, what I'm going to do to John Cena at No Way Out, it won't be pretty. Cena won't be standing across the ring from a businessman, but an unstoppable giant. You think losing to The Rock at WrestleMania, or suffering from Brock Lesnar at Extreme Rules, or losing to John Laurinaitis at Over the Limit is the most embarrassing moment of his career?
Heck no.
At No Way Out, John Cena is going to experience all three of those things in one night, and that puts a smile on my face.
I love how he, I don't know, compares himself to The Rock and Brock Lesnar here, and what he's going to do to John Cena.
I honestly thought this was an excellent opening to Monday Night Raw. I thought Big Show did a fantastic job convincing the crowd that he is someone that could compete with John Cena at the next pay-per-view. The guy seems to, you know, the Big Show, you know, he has a unique moveset in the ring.
Yes.
Right? We can't compare the Big Show to John Cena just because of his natural size. So he's obviously a little different in the ring. But one thing that he proved to me tonight was that he can keep up there on the microphone.
You know, that's the thing with Big Show. Big Show's always been a very good performer. He's always been good on the mic. He's always been a good actor. And I, you know what they've done? I thought they did a really good job starting off with this segment tonight of really, I don't know, really building Big Show up. And we'll talk a little bit more about it as the show goes on here. But no, it was a very good start to Raw tonight, I thought. I definitely agree with you there.
Are you convinced that the Big Show is a monster heel?
After tonight, yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely after tonight,
and
yes.
And that's what I'm taking out of this tonight, is the Big Show really convinced me that he's no longer a good guy. And he's not just a bad guy, but he is a really bad guy.
And this is the best role for a guy like Big Show. I mean, I don't know. To me, I think he's way better as the monster heel to come in and just put guys over, you know, to be this big, credible threat. And I want to build, you know what I'm saying here, right? To build these guys up. And well, so this is the perfect role for him.
Well, and last week, you and I were, you know, sitting here, and we've read other people's comments and opinions, and we were under the impression that, you know, why Big Show? Why is John Cena getting the Big Show when he could be getting an up-and-comer, or this was an opportunity to put someone new in the spotlight and have a go with John Cena, right? Because Big Show's been around for a very long time. We all know who he is.
Yeah.
We thought that this would have been a perfect opportunity to slot someone new into the main event picture. But I gotta admit, what the Big Show did tonight really convinced me that I'm a little more interested in this program. And what really impresses me about tonight is that the Big Show did it with no presence from John Cena at all. He managed to hype up a main event program heading into a pay-per-view, and the guy he's facing wasn't even there tonight.
Much needed time off for John Cena.
I thought Big Show was excellent tonight.
Yes, very much.
Moving on, after the opening segment, we then see Ricardo Rodriguez, who introduces Alberto Del Rio, and he drives out in a brand new fancy Bentley. Well, I'm not sure if it's brand new, but it's fancy.
$150,000 car, according to Michael Cole.
Yeah, it's no Volkswagen Jetta, which is what I drive. But Santino, he walks out, and this would set up the opening match of the night, Alberto Del Rio versus Santino Marella.
Yeah, this was definitely, I would have to say, the worst match of the night, simply because it really didn't go longer than a minute. The match would start out with Del Rio taking control early with punches and kicks. He'd finally throw Santino into the corner. Santino would move out of the way, though, and then he'd hit his moveset, like he'd do the hip toss into the diving headbutt. Then he pulls out the Cobra and he goes for the Cobra, and then Del Rio essentially slaps on the armbar as he goes to hit him with the Cobra, and Santino taps out right away. The match was less than a minute long, and I thought it was a very, very poor showing for your United States champion.
It wasn't a title shot.
No, it wasn't a title shot, but still, the guy's a title holder. He deserves better than that.
How long will Santino hold on to this belt before he loses it?
You know what? I have a feeling he's probably going to hold on to it for a while.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. If they're going to be doing stuff like this with Santino, you know, I don't know. This just goes back to the whole argument of giving the belts a little bit of credibility.
It also makes me wonder why Santino could have probably been anyone in the locker room that just goes out and gets their ass handed to him by Alberto Del Rio. Why Santino?
Because it has to be Santino because he's got this little thing going with Ricardo Rodriguez, right?
Which is not a... To me, it's not much of a reason, but I can understand.
No,
that.
It's honestly, to me, it feels like filler, to be honest. This whole thing between Santino and Ricardo is just...
Go out, make your appearance, and let everyone remember who you are.
Right?
We then see Eve Torres and A-Rai. We haven't seen much of him lately, but he's getting a little bit of a spotlight.
It's funny how A-Rai is getting TV time, but yet Zack Ryder's not.
For good reason. I've always liked A-Rai. I'm not a Zack Ryder fan.
No.
I'm an A-Rai fan for sure. I was surprised how quickly they demoted this guy after his program with The Miz. But regardless, we see him and Eve Torres backstage in a hallway. They're chatting, and Big Show, he walks up and interrupts the party. Eve says that Big Show gets to pick his opponent for tonight. And then when Eve Torres walks away, A-Rod tries to sweet-talk Big Show, saying he didn't like what John Laurinaitis did to him 2 weeks ago when he fired the Big Show. Big Show tells him to relax and lets him know that he isn't going to pick him as his opponent. A-Rod breathes a sigh of relief, and Big Show says, but he does want to send a message to the WWE locker room, and A-Rod, hopefully you can pass this along. He ends up slamming A-Rod's head against the brick wall and walks away.
Looked pretty nasty, too, but...
The monster heel continues his dominance tonight on Monday Night Raw.
By just squishing Alex Riley. Thanks for being on TV for 2 minutes, Alex. You're going to get squished.
Yeah, that's all right.
It works.
R-Truth and Kofi Kingston walk out, and they walk out to Kofi Kingston's music.
So I guess they're just going to use Kofi Kingston's music as their...
Well, maybe they just haven't got around
to
making
Kofi,
music.
Maybe it's Kofi 1 week and R-Truth the next or something. Who knows?
Who knows? But they walk out wearing their tag team titles. Vicky Guerrero walks out, and she introduces their opponents for tonight, Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler. And this would set up Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler versus R-Truth and Kofi Kingston for the WWE Tag Team titles.
Yes, it would. And this was actually a pretty decent match. It started out with Kofi and Swagger in the ring, and they'd go back and forth a bit until finally Kofi would tag in R-Truth. And they'd actually do this really neat-looking double arm drag on Jack Swagger.
Looked good.
Yeah, and then R-Truth would get up, and he'd do this little weird dance as he pulled the rope down. Swagger would go over the top rope. Ziggler would get into the ring at this point, and there's more combination moves between Kofi and R-Truth as they both kicked him in the head at the same time, and I thought that looked pretty impressive. And then they did a double baseball slide, knocking Ziggler out to the ring, and then we'd go to a commercial break at that point. Basically, it was more back and forth. They worked on Kofi Kingston, the heels did, until R-Truth got the hot tag. And it was basically R-Truth working down Swagger, and he rolled him up for a two. Then he hit Swagger with a DDT for a two count. Ziggler would come in for the save. At this point, Kofi Kingston would come in. He'd knock down Ziggler. They'd both roll to the outside. Swagger, at this point, is then pushed into the corner. He'd then turn around and he'd get hit by R-Truth's finisher, which I believe when he was a heel, it was called the shut up.
Yes.
Driving. It's like that front face driver, I guess, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I don't know what you'd call it now. But
I guess you could call it a front face slam, but it's a decent move.
Yeah, it's a good looking move anyways. And R-Truth would, you know, beat him off the move for the 1-2-3. Now, the interesting part about this match is after the match was over, you'd see Dolph Ziggler actually start to get into an argument with Vicky Guerrero and Swagger here, saying that he's better than this. He's better than this. This isn't working for him. And he starts.
Well, he doesn't actually say I'm better than this, does he? Or is it Michael Cole that says?
No, it's Ziggler actually said I'm better. Because
Cole reminded us of that.
Yeah,
as well.
No, he said I'm better than this, and then he kind of went up the ramp as, you know, Vicky's begging him to come back, and Swagger's
and it's
on
at this point in the evening where I'm saying, thank you. Finally, yes. Ziggler walking away from
We've only been wanting this now for the last...
There's no reason why Dolph Ziggler should even be in a tag team.
No.
He should be in the main event spotlight.
Yeah.
It's not... To me, it's like you're just insulting the guy. The guy has paid his dues. He's put in match after match.
Triplicate, the guy's paid his dues.
And they just seem to hold him down by putting him in this tag team. So tonight, we finally see the possibility of a separation with Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger, and possibly Ziggler becoming a singles competitor. We'll get to that. After this, we see Santino Marella backstage, walking with a medic, looking at his arm. Santino runs into the Big Show, and Show says, I get to pick my opponent tonight. And he actually just grabs Santino by the face and says that he didn't really care Santino didn't really care when the Big Show got fired.
Mm-hmm.
We then hear someone yell, hey, and walks up. And who walks up of all people? Who was the guy that yelled hey to the Big Show?
I like this.
It was the Brodus Clay.
The Funkasaurus.
Brodus walking up to the Big Show and says he heard Show is talking behind his back and he should probably say it to his face. Big Show responds asking if this is really what Brodus Clay wants. And Brodus says he heard he gets to pick his opponent tonight and that he should probably pick him. And then he'll give him something to cry about. Big Show says okay, but don't worry about dancing because after tonight, you'll barely be walking. When I saw these two face to face, I was like, excellent. This is an excellent idea.
We were talking about this on a couple shows back.
This, to me, seems like a program that could be on a pay-per-view. I don't want to give away the ending to Raw tonight. But let me just say this. They should save these two for a pay-per-view. Big Show versus Brodus Clay is an excellent program, in my opinion. I want to see it. And those two tonight, face-to-face, very intense. I liked it.
No, I definitely like the way that they handled it. We'll talk about it, obviously, later on tonight. But no, I very much like the way they handled this. And yes, I was just like you. When I saw Brodus Clay come up and challenge Big Show, I was like, sweet. We got a big, you know, tough, undefeated guy going up against a guy who's trying to establish himself, reestablish, I should say, himself as a monster heel. I was feeling it. I was all for it.
For sure. Now we get to John Laurinaitis. God, I love this guy.
This was a funny segment. I liked this segment.
John Laurinaitis, still in his motorized scooter from last week, if you remember him driving out. Well, he drives out tonight to ringside with Eve Torres and David Otunga at his side. And Michael Cole reminds everyone of the injuries he sustained from John Cena at Over the Limit.
He is the worst seller of injuries that you'll ever see.
Well, the amount of injuries he apparently has, you'd think the guy would be in intensive care in a hospital.
Jeez, oh yeah, like knee problem, an arm problem. He's got everything. Yeah, like a spine problem, if I remember correctly.
He tore his ACL and PCL and contusions all over his body. And
It's like John Cena having to drain his elbow twice a day.
Regardless, Laurinaitis, yes, he finally gets in the ring. We're behind them as they walk into the ring. We see something under a blanket, almost like a magazine reveal or something similar.
The reveal of a portrait or something.
If you remember back in the day when a diva would reveal her Playboy cover and they would hide the big, you know, the big piece of cardboard behind a blanket.
Or do you remember Vince McMahon's Muscle and Fitness cover?
That's right. That was a good one. Laurinaitis grabs a microphone and says, I have several announcements to make. First, tonight, the Big Show will face Brodus Clay, confirming what we already thought. And secondly, to ensure no outside interference, the match between the Big Show and John Cena at No Way Out, it's going to be inside a steel cage.
So there you go. Big announcement, actually, that just kind of came matter-of-factly from John Laurinaitis.
This would be my downside to Monday Night Raw tonight. The way they announced it was a steel cage match. You just have Laurinaitis come out, and it's the second item on his agenda announcing it's a steel cage match. You just threw it out of nowhere, and I don't like how they announced it.
I like that. I think that really adds to the whole, you know, heel boss character of John Laurinaitis by just, you know, by adding such a big stipulation like that and having it be like nothing, having him treat it like nothing. I think that really adds to his heel persona.
Or you could go in the opposite direction and you could have John Cena and Big Show in a kind of like a face-to-face type moment. And, you know, things get so intense that one of them challenges the other to a steel cage, you know. I don't want to just beat you at No Way Out. Mm-hmm. I want to hurt you. And I want a steel cage to do it in. Like, you could go that way as well. So.
Well, this match at No Way Out definitely made the most sense to be a steel cage. I don't know if we're going to see any other matches be a steel cage match. I mean, there hasn't been anything else.
No, nothing's been announced
as a cage match. Right? No. So, but anyways, this match makes the most sense for sure.
He goes on to continue to say, and since my victory over John Cena at Over the Limit, I, John Laurinaitis, have become the most popular star in WWE history. You want proof? Big Johnny's got proof. As you know, the WWE 13 video game will be released on October 30th, and there has been a groundswell to have someone new on the cover. Someone who embodies the true story of the WWE. Someone who embodies people power. Drum roll, please. That's a terrible drum roll.
Yes, it is.
The drum roll starts, and Eve and Otunga, they pull back the black curtain to reveal John Laurinaitis on the cover of WWE 13. Johnny goes on to say, this game, it's going to be bigger than Pac-Man.
Bigger than Pac-Man. I got to get a laugh out of that one.
Wow. Now, first of all, at this moment, I was thinking to myself, they should go with this. They should have John Laurinaitis on the cover of WWE 13. To me, that is just a heelish move that would just, I mean, it would be terrible for the sales of the video game, but it would be awesome to have him on the cover of the game that everyone's going to be playing.
Well, keep going with the, I'll give you my opinion after you tell about the rest of the segment.
So it's at this moment that CM Punk's music hits and he interrupts the party and walks out. Punk, with a mic in hand, he looks at the video game cover that was revealed and he says, Pac-Man, huh? Pretty timely reference. But understandable, since you and Pac-Man have no testicles whatsoever. You're not popular at all, John. Being on the cover of WWE 13 is pretty prestigious. It means a lot around here. So for someone like yourself, it will be a shock, because the real person on the cover is a whole lot better looking than you are. Out of nowhere, pyro above the ring. It goes off, and a huge banner unrolls itself from the lighting truss to reveal that it's actually CM Punk on the cover. And Punk says, a wrestling video game with an actual wrestler on the cover? What a concept. So you can take Hoski and Carlton and get out of my ring. Because I know that the WWE Board of Directors is watching, and you don't want to give them any more ammunition to fire at you.
Is it just me, or does CM Punk do comedy way better than John Cena?
Oh, for sure. Oh. There are times when I don't like Punk's comedic ways, but he definitely does it in a more subtle way.
I think he's got a better delivery, personally.
Yeah. Cena's just so over the top, and while I do find moments where Punk is over the top, and he just does it a little better. I can't explain it really much better than that.
Agreed. Now, my question coming out of this segment was, are they going to make some limited edition WWE 13s with John Laurinaitis on the cover? I mean, obviously CM Punk's going to be the main cover, right? But could you maybe buy a limited edition? Because I want the John Laurinaitis cover. I don't want the CM Punk cover. I want the Laurinaitis cover.
To be honest, I'm just going to be honest here. This video game doesn't come out until October.
Oh, that's like 5 months away. I know.
Why are we even talking about this? My thinking is because they want to start the hype early, because THQ, the video game maker, is in big trouble and they need to possibly get some pre-orders.
I heard they were close to bankruptcy almost.
Well, they are. Yeah. And so, you know, maybe they need to get some pre-orders to convince financers that this game is a go. Well, you never know, right?
Well, then you better have a limited edition John Laurinaitis cover.
To me, if you want the game to be successful, it's got to have John Laurinaitis.
Yes.
I thought that was just a funny idea. And I was thinking, God, that would be such a good heel thing for him to do, to actually be on the cover. But you know it's not going to happen. Anyways, we go to a commercial break. We come back. CM Punk is still in the ring awaiting his match with this man, Daniel Bryan. His music hits. He walks out setting up Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk.
That's right. And Daniel Bryan, he'd walk out. He'd do his yes, yes, yes chant. And actually, the crowd was quite behind him. But this, Corey, was definitely the match of the night and probably one of the best matches that I've seen on Raw all year.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this might be the best match of 2012 for Monday Night Raws.
Yeah, no, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They started out back and forth. They did some chain wrestling. Punk would actually hit a hip toss and then an arm drag. And at this point, the crowd was definitely behind CM Punk. There was a loud CM Punk chant. Again, more back and forth. There's some kicks and knees by Punk. Punk would actually at one point get a body scissors onto Daniel Bryan. He'd then actually do a surfboard submission, which we both noticed that Michael Cole didn't properly call, of course.
They don't call moves anymore.
But anyways, yeah, it's a fast-paced match. There was lots of pin attempts. There was like a baseball slide. There was a springboard cross body onto Daniel Bryan. Like lots of good moves in this match. Now, in the middle of the match, AJ would actually start coming down the ramp, and she's wearing a cut-off CM Punk t-shirt. So
interesting.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be seeing a little bit of AJ getting involved into this. Most of the match, Daniel Bryan was working on CM Punk's arm, of course, to put him into the yes lock. There was a really cool Northern Light suplex. Bryan hit a Northern Light suplex on CM Punk for the two count. He'd then continue to work on the arm. Punk at one point, he'd regain the offensive with a kitchen sink, more back and forth. Finally, there was an interesting spot where Bryan actually pulled him up. This is actually near the finish of the match. Bryan actually pulled him up to the top rope, and they actually did a proper top rope superplex.
Looked great.
Oh, it was beautiful for the two count, and the crowd's just totally into it at this point. Now, it was at this point that Daniel Bryan's actually going over to the corner of the ring, and he's taking off the turnbuckle, exposing the metal rung on the ring. And AJ was actually distracting the ref by trying to point out that he was doing this, but she was inadvertently distracting the ref while he's taking off the turnbuckle, and it was that turnbuckle that Daniel Bryan would use to get the victory over CM Punk. Punk would run at him, he'd pick him up and, drop him on his head onto the exposed ring, and then, Bryan gets the 1-2-3. Now, I believe this was for a future title shot, Michael Cole was saying.
I didn't know that.
So it looks like Daniel Bryan's going to get another shot at the WWE Championship.
I thought it was a good ending to this match because, AJ was sort of responsible,
mm-hmm.
but not directly, like not really because...
No, it was a beautiful finish.
Yeah, it was good because, AJ did distract Daniel Bryan, AJ did distract the referee while Daniel Bryan took off the turnbuckle pad, but it wasn't like an instant throw to the corner. No. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
CM Punk did have some offense before he went into that corner
yeah.
and ultimately lost the match. So I thought it was good. It was kind of like a subtle way of costing Punk the match. So it'll be interesting to see how Punk responds to that.
And of course, you know, my description of this match really doesn't do it justice. If you get a chance, go back and actually watch the whole match. It was quite a good one.
I thought you did a good job, though.
Why, thank you.
Now, after the match, Kane enters the ring, and he attacks Daniel Bryan with a steel chair, ultimately chokeslamming him onto the steel chair. CM Punk, who was in the ring at the time, is slid a chair from outside by AJ. So AJ throws a chair to CM Punk, and he ends up using it to attack Kane and forces him outside the ring. AJ helping CM Punk here.
So there you go. AJ, at one point, costing CM Punk the match, but yet... making the save after the match is over.
I'm liking what they're doing with
this. I'm really liking how they've got AJ involved in this whole program. Now, do you think we're going to see Kane be more involved in this feud between Daniel Bryan and CM Punk?
And that is the X factor in this match here. We saw Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk at Over the Limit, so you didn't get the impression that the program was done after that. So naturally, we're all thinking that these two are going to be facing again at No Way Out.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have Kane inserting himself into the mix. We've seen that for 2 weeks in a row, plus a SmackDown show. So three shows we've seen him insert himself into the mix here. It's, to me, I'm thinking either a triple threat type match.
That's what I'm thinking,
or
too.
Or Kane is going to be a deciding factor with who wins this match at No Way Out. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's a triple threat match at No Way Out.
I'm thinking it's going to be a triple threat match, too. And the one thing that I noticed with this whole match and segment was the use of Kane made a heck of a lot more sense this week than it did last week, eh?
Yes, for sure. Well, like, explain that, though.
Well, last week Kane was almost in the babyface role, you know?
Yeah, I know.
By coming in and attacking Daniel Bryan and then,
yeah.
you know, CM Punk coming in and slapping on the Anaconda Vice on him. It almost, you know, as a viewer, you're watching this and you're almost feeling sorry for Daniel Bryan, and you don't want to be feeling sorry for the heel, right?
One word explains this whole situation. Logic.
Yes. Thank you.
It was logical tonight.
Yes.
In fact, I found most things on Raw tonight to be quite logical. And it's amazing how the tone in my voice has changed compared to previous shows.
It's amazing how one week will be negative and the next week will be positive, all based on the storyline. Is the storyline
one
makes
word.
Sense? Logic. Yes. Is it logical? Does it make sense?
Exactly.
And yes, it made sense this week.
Mm-hmm. Christian's music hits. He makes his way to the ring with Cody Rhodes sitting at the commentator's table. Now, during his entrance, Michael Cole references Jericho's suspension. Chris Jericho, that is. And I couldn't help but notice how quickly he referenced it and how quickly he got off it.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, by the way, Jericho suspended. Let's move on, you know?
So what do you make of that? Do you think that this... Well, I mean, we'll get into the whole Jericho incident on Thursday. Mm-hmm. That'll be one of our big topics on Tale of the Tape. But just quickly, like, what's your whole take on this whole Jericho... on this incident? Do you think that this was something that WWE knew about beforehand? Or was this just a big cock-up by Jericho doing something on the fly?
I think this is a typical wrestler going for heel heat with whatever is in front of him, right? What's ever presented at the time, he's going to make heel heat out of that. And there was a flag there, and he was just being a natural heel. It's part of the show. Do I think Jericho dislikes Brazil? Not in any way, shape, or form. Do I think the WWE is mad at this? No, I don't. I think that they were forced to suspend him because of the reaction from everyone after the incident. I bet you, I don't think, you know, I have no way of knowing if this is true or not, but I would not doubt for a second that McMahon said to Chris Jericho, look, I'm not even mad at you, but I have to suspend you just based off the company's image alone. You know, this, once that 30-day suspension is up, it's done, it's over with, we're going to go back to being good buddies again. Like, I don't even think Vince or anyone within the WWE is mad at him. They are just suspending him purely off PR and PR alone.
And I will give my opinion on the whole situation on Thursday, so we have a little bit of something to talk about.
How are the people going to get to sleep tonight?
I'm sure they'll sleep soundly.
Now, the Miz's music hits, and if you remember what I said a couple minutes ago, Christian was already in the ring. The Miz walks out, and this would set up Christian versus The Miz.
Now, before I begin here, it was funny how we were mentioning last week, last Thursday, some possible guys for the Christian to enter into a program with for his IC title.
Mm-hmm.
And Miz was one of the big guys that we mentioned. So.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Given that match tonight on Monday Night Raw.
I think the WWE is listening to us.
I'm guaranteeing Vince is listening at this moment live.
Vince, we love you.
Okay. I'm not going to say that, but whatever.
Anyways, okay. So, yes, this is the fourth match of the night. It was Christian taking on The Miz. It was a non-title match, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, it was not. And Cody Rhodes, of course, is on commentary. Now,
talking about how he deserves his rematch.
Yes. Now, Christian would take control of the match early, but The Miz would actually retake the offensive after, you know, kicking Christian in the face, you know, after a roll-up attempt. And basically, the whole match was almost The Miz on the offense until pretty much the end. I mean, there were some interesting spots. I mean, Miz would hit his corner clothesline, then he'd hit a double axe handle off the top rope for a two count, then he'd do his backbreaker into the neckbreaker combo for another two count, and, you know, he'd have him in a chin lock. And basically, it was Miz in control for most of the match until the end of the match, which essentially was Miz would go for his skull-crushing finale. Christian would block out of it, and then he'd finally actually hit this kill switch on him. Then he'd go up to the top rope, and he's going to start doing this frog splash now,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
So he'd hit the frog splash for the win, and yeah, that was essentially, it was a decent match, a good showing by Miz and Christian, I thought.
After the match, I'm skipping a part here. After the match, we go backstage where John Laurinaitis says he needs to talk to both David Otunga and Eve privately. Before doing so, Eve asks Teddy Long, who is standing right beside her, who's also wearing a maid's outfit.
Yeah, the like white little frilly uniform.
With
what was
a
that?
Sign on the front that says, "Hello, my name is Teddy," a name tag in giant lettering.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Eve asks him to go get her a cup of coffee. What do you make of that? Nothing. It's just going to be week in and week out of embarrassing Teddy Long.
It's another week of making Teddy look like crap.
Now, Laurinaitis says to David Otunga, "David, you were supposed to present a challenge to John Cena last week. You tapped out to Cena's STF right away. Where I lasted twice for over 10 seconds at Over the Limit.
You gotta like David Otunga's.
Like, what do you say to that?
He's like, well, he didn't have it locked in on you like he did on me. He didn't have it fully. Did you hear? Well, he said something along those lines.
He had him though.
Yeah.
And Eve, I put you in charge of SmackDown, and you were supposed to have Sheamus apologize. Did that happen? Eve says no, and that Sheamus, well, it's because he's hard headed. Otunga interrupts and says, Johnny, put me in a match against Sheamus tonight. Now, as the segment ends, Teddy comes back with Eve's coffee. Eve takes a sip, and she spits it all over Teddy Long, proclaiming that it's cold. And then Teddy says it's supposed to be cold. It's iced coffee.
Yeah, she actually threw the whole cup of coffee against him, and this is the whole reason he was wearing a white uniform to begin with.
If I was the WWE creative here, what I would do week in and week out is I would have the crowd just feeling beyond sorry for Teddy Long. Like, have him hit rock bottom where these three just abuse him in the most embarrassing way possible, but in a way where you almost want to start crying for the guy.
And in a way where it doesn't take up a lot of TV time. Because honestly, how much TV time do you want to give to Teddy Long here?
No, I agree. And ultimately, where are they going with this?
Exactly.
Right? So you got to keep that in mind. But you could really grow quite a large fan base behind Teddy if
you do it properly. But I don't think they've got any inclination to
There's no plan for him.
No.
Now, as the segment ends, sorry, I already talked about this. Now, we headed to commercial break. Now, after commercial break, The Miz is miraculously still in the ring after all that time.
We had a
3-minute commercial break, plus a whole segment with Laurinaitis, Otunga, Eve, and Teddy Long.
So it's probably a good, I don't know, 10 minutes that he's just standing in the ring waiting to talk.
Unbelievable.
What do you do? I don't know. It's odd. You know, what do you do if you're there live, right? You're just watching him.
He's just waiting.
Standing
in the ring with a mic in hand, he says, I want that match, with Christian that was, I want that match stricken from the records. I won that match for Team Johnny at WrestleMania, and so far I've gotten nothing. Where is my championship match? It's at this moment that Randy Orton's music hits, and he walks out, and he wastes no time. He gets in the ring, and he just straight up RKOs The Miz immediately.
And The Miz, oh, that looked terrible. The Miz sold it terribly.
Not a great sell by The Miz. But here's the thing. Randy Orton and Chris Jericho, they were going to go into a program together for No Way Out, as we all were suspecting. Jericho gets suspended. So one of the questions you'd have to ask was, who's going to take Jericho's place and square off with Randy Orton for the World Heavyweight Championship? Immediately, we're all thinking here that it's The Miz, because Randy Orton is coming out to confront The Miz.
That's right.
But, you know,
That was my initial thought.
And this is beautiful writing to me, because we all thought that. But The Miz getting RKO'd so quickly kind of squashed that idea, in my opinion. We then go backstage where Dolph Ziggler and Vicky Guerrero are watching from a monitor, and Ziggler proclaims that he needs to be out there. He shouldn't even be in a tag team. He wants to be out there with Randy Orton.
He's pointing to Randy Orton. He's saying, that should be me. That should be me, Vicky.
And Vicky says, well, she'll see what she can do. And Dolph reluctantly accepts her response. Could this be?
Finally.
Oh, please. Finally. Please.
Ziggler has come to the main event.
Please, yes. Let Ziggler come out into the spotlight here. I know it's in a way that shouldn't happen. I mean, you're capitalizing off someone else's suspension. But Ziggler needs to be there. I don't think it should be for the World Heavyweight Championship. I think it should be for the WWE Championship. But I'll take the World Heavyweight Championship at this point.
Heck, I'll take anything other than this stupid tag team that he's in with Swagger at the moment.
I just really liked how they made everyone think that it was going to be Randy and Orton versus The Miz for a split second.
Yeah.
And then they quickly reverse course and they are teasing.
Teasing, yes.
That it's Ziggler.
But who knows what they're going to do. I mean, it could change completely next week.
Again,
right?
Good writing tonight.
Yep.
Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler then take us to John Cena, who has some words about what Memorial Day is all about. And this is a video package. We're not even going to get into it.
It's all about the American Armed Forces, which...
which, it's fine. It's fine.
They're just... let's just say they're not as, I guess, popular up here in Canada.
I was saying to you earlier, we had our May long weekend the weekend prior.
And where was our video package?
Where was our video?
Where was the video package celebrating the great Queen Victoria? Come on now.
David Otunga's music hits. He walks out. Sheamus walks out. This would set up Sheamus versus David Otunga, a match requested by Otunga earlier in the evening.
Okay, so yeah, Otunga would take control early in the match with some punches and kicks. Sheamus would then block a hip toss attempt by Otunga and hit him down with a clothesline. He'd then bring him to the outside, toss him onto the apron, and he'd attempt to do that club to the chest combo that he likes to do. But Otunga would drop down and kind of clothesline him on the top rope there. Otunga would then get back in the ring. He'd actually hit the ropes and do like a diving shoulder block, which I thought was kind of good. You know, here's the thing about David Otunga. He's getting better week after week after week in the ring. Would you agree with me?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we're starting to see him do things that are a little bit out of his comfort zone, which is a sign that, you know, he's getting a little bit better. At least that's what I think anyways. Anyways, Otunga would then pick Sheamus up, start working on him in the corner. Sheamus would retake control of the match, actually getting Otunga out onto the apron this time and hitting the 10 club combo that he likes to do. And I gotta tell you, those just do not look like they feel good, eh?
They are the modern day chops.
Oh. Anyways, Sheamus would then get him back into the ring. He'd hit him with the they call it the white noise, but to me it looks almost like a modified kryptonite crunch. It's kind of like a... almost like a modified sidewalk slam / kryptonite crunch, but they call it the white noise anyways. He hits him with it. He'd go to the opposite corner. Otunga would stagger up. Boom, get hit with the bro kick, and that was it. 1-2-3, Sheamus is your winner.
There you go. Interesting.
So, Otunga, not getting it done for the second week in a row. What do you think Laurinaitis is going to do to him now?
There's one saving grace for David Otunga. He has the best pose in the business when he walks out of the entranceway. I love David Otunga's pose.
He's the black Chris Masters.
You can't say that on the air here.
Why not?
I'm just joking. All right, we get to the main event, and it's Brodus Clay versus The Big Show, so we thought. But Brodus Clay's music hits, and he makes his way out. Strange incident as he walks down the aisle, as it appears toilet paper was stuck to his arm.
I was busting a gut laughing at this.
He noticed it about halfway down the aisle and took it off. Now, is this real, or was that not supposed to happen?
No, that was something that was not supposed to happen. You could just tell by the look on his face and his demeanor when he got into the ring and he was doing his little...
Toilet paper stuck to your arm?
I don't even know if it was toilet paper. I think it might have been just like...
it was toilet paper.
You think so?
I think so.
I don't know. It looked pretty bad, though.
It was weird.
I don't know what's worse. Having it stuck to your arm or stuck to your shoe?
I hope we find out something about that. Big Show's music hits, and he makes his way out with a microphone in hand. And immediately, we were debating whether or not this was going to be a match tonight because we were pressed for time. So as soon as you see the Big Show with a microphone in hand, we're thinking,
there's no match. It's like 20 after 8 at this point, and we're going, okay.
Big Show says, Brodus, I'm actually a big fan of yours. I thought I was a sellout when I put a diaper on and competed against Aki Bono at WrestleMania 21. I did embarrassing things throughout my career when it was good for business. You, however, you do it nightly. Maybe when these people get tired of seeing you dance, you can get some clown makeup and become the next Doink. The difference between you and Doink, though, Doink actually had talent. Big Show then runs down the aisle where Brodus is outside the ring, and the two run into each other just massively.
Oh, you could see the shockwaves come off them.
I thought that was excellent.
I thought that was probably pretty painful.
Just the two running into each other, these two large men. And again, this is a program that I'd like to see heading into a pay-per-view. So I really don't want this match to happen.
Two big guys that can actually work.
Mm-hmm. The two continue to fight on the outside, keeping in mind that the match has not started yet. Big Show just attacks Brodus, using the ring post to his advantage. Meanwhile, Brodus' girls, they're inside the ring, upset their man is getting beat down.
They're actually crying.
Ugh. Now, Kofi Kingston and R-Truth at one point, they run down to stop the madness, but Big Show catches Kofi in midair and throws him into R-Truth. Big Show, he actually collapses the commentator's table at this point with one foot. Just kicks the table.
Yeah, he just smashed it down. This is Cole and King's commentating table.
And then he picks up a piece of that table, and he ends up smashing it over the back of Brodus Clay. Show then picks up R-Truth, brutalizes him some more, then grabs Kofi, and throws him through a retaining wall barricade.
Ooh, that looked pretty nasty.
Just sick.
Yeah.
And then Show finally finishes Brodus Clay off with a weapon of mass destruction to the side of the head, knocking him out. Big Show makes his way up the entrance ramp, where, of all people, John Laurinaitis, wearing a crutch and all, is waiting for him and raises his arm as Raw goes off the air.
So Big Show standing tall as the show ends. And you know what? I like this. I liked this last segment very much. It really established Big Show as this giant threat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when they had the close-ups on his face, when he was standing by the crowd as he was making his way up the ramp, I don't know if you noticed this, but the close-ups on his face, you could almost feel the conflict within him. Like, I don't think it's just like a cheesy, I'm okay, all of a sudden I'm a bad guy now. I think there's a lot of conflict with the Big Show character. At least I think that's what they're trying to portray. Anyways. Yeah. And if that's the case, that to me is great. That shows a deep, dynamic character, which is something you don't see very much in professional wrestling.
One thing that was really hammered home to me tonight with the Big Show was that they're not hiding the fact that this is the reality era. Just the way that Big Show in the opening segment of Monday Night Raw said, you know, I would put a smile on my face and that was a business decision to make you fans happy. He's just admitting that for the past couple years, he's been lying to the fans, but he's been doing it because he thought it was good for business.
So that's him basically saying, yeah, I'm an asshole in real life. I just smiled because I was paid to smile. No, oh, no, I like that.
I like it too, but you understand what I'm saying, right? Yeah. They're really admitting this reality era through these little subtle ways. That was one that really stood out for me tonight. But I gotta say, Big Show just impressed the heck out of me tonight. And without John Cena there.
Yeah, that was the thing. No John Cena on Monday Night Raw tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe he was there after they went off the air.
Well,
but
could have had a dark match after Raw went off the air, as they did that one time.
Yeah.
Anyways, regardless, I thought it was a solid Monday Night Raw tonight.
I did too. I have to agree with you there. I thought it was a very good Monday Night Raw.
And here's the best part, okay?
What's the best part?
I thought it was a solid Monday Night Raw, and it was the first week in a long time that John Cena was not on the show. Like, how terrible is that?
Coincidence?
I'm just saying. I thought it was a solid show.
I hear you.
Oh, well. Now, we have some listener emails, James.
Yes, we've actually had some people write us.
This is for an opportunity to win the 2011 TLC pay-per-view DVD. Now, these people emailed us on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. James, why don't you go on and read the first one?
All right, first one is Jacob from Seattle, and he says, hey, guys, just found your show, and I'm really liking it. Keep up the good work. I thought tonight's Raw was really good. I especially love the direction they're taking the Big Show. He looked impressive tonight. Kind of sad that him and Brodus didn't have a match tonight, though. I like that Dolph Ziggler wants to leave Vicky and Jack Swagger. Maybe now they'll actually do something with him instead of having him lose every week. Punk and Brian were amazing as usual. I hope these two continue having great matches together going forward. No mention of Brock Lesnar tonight, though. I wonder if that has anything to do with him showing up at the UFC. What do you guys think? Great show.
It's very interesting that he brings up Brock Lesnar because just this past weekend, Brock Lesnar seen at a UFC pay-per-view in the crowd. What do you make of that?
Well, it's like we were talking about it earlier. There's one of two ways this could, you know, obviously there's one of two ways this could be. This could be a work or this could be for real, right? He's either, you know, I've heard a lot of rumors that he's, that the whole purpose he was there was to try to negotiate with Dana White about a possible return after his contract with WWE was up.
What does your heart tell you? Do you think Brock Lesnar actually quit and is trying to go back to the UFC? Or do you think this is something that possibly Vince and Dana agreed upon to have Brock Lesnar in the crowd?
Personally, I think this is actually Brock Lesnar trying to set some groundwork for something when his time with WWE is up.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, he's, I don't know.
To me, though, that seems so early. We have so long for his year-long contract to be up that it would just seem really early for him to do that.
Well, maybe he's, I don't know, maybe he's not happy. And you know how fickle Brock Lesnar is, right?
Let's just be honest here. If he actually is walking away from the WWE, we could have some first major legal implications because he is under contract for a year, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And second of all, what the heck happened? What would cause Brock Lesnar to walk away from this program and this big idea that him and Vince had probably come up with together? What would cause him to just change course and walk away?
Maybe he doesn't like the way that he's been portrayed. Maybe he didn't like, you know, the ending of Extreme Rules or something.
Well, it was rumored that after Extreme Rules, he threw a temper tantrum in the back because I guess the tentative plan was that John Cena was supposed to be, you know, so brutalized during his match that he could barely get up.
That he'd be stretchered out or something like that.
But
yeah,
instead,
we
saw John Cena get up and cut a promo at the end.
About how he was taking time off, even though he didn't.
Until now. Tonight, but, yeah, no, but it just, for me, I was like, you know, you're trying to put two and two together and you're thinking, well, if he is walking away, it's pretty crazy and that could be a major story. But I'm not convinced yet that Brock Lesnar is done with the WWE.
Well, we'll break this down more on Thursday. That'll be another topic for Tale of the Tape. I actually have a couple more emails. I'll get to the second one here. This is Rob from Burns Lake. I got to say, finding your show on Google was really great, as there's not too many people to talk about wrestling with here in the boonies. I'm hoping this will be a DVD-winning email. Well, you never know. I thought tonight's Raw was terrible. Oh, really? With the exception of the CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. And this guy does not know how to write. It seems that these two guys are just taking the great matches they had in ROH and bringing them to WWE TV, which is a win for everyone. Are they having another match at No Way Out? I don't know. Tonight's Raw just didn't excite me. Most of the matches were too short, and I'm yawning at the John Cena Big Show feud. We've seen it all before. Do you think we'll see Ziggler versus Orton now that Jericho has been suspended? Which I think is crap, he put in brackets. So that's Rob from Burns Lake.
I'm thinking we're seeing Ziggler versus Orton at No Way Out. I'm hoping we're seeing that. There's still a bit of time to build that up.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to John Cena and Big Show, I am interested.
I totally agree with you. You know, last week if you asked me, I would have said no. Mm-hmm. I would have totally preferred something else. But now, after we've seen, you know, they did a good job tonight. Like we've been talking about, they did a good job building him up. Writing staff did an excellent job tonight, definitely.
Another viewer email? Listener email,
Email, yes. Stevie from New Westminster. Raw tonight was pretty good, I thought. The CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan match was another excellent bout. These guys work really well together. Must be all that time they spent together in that indie promo. What's it called? Oh, yeah, Ring of Honor. I hope they don't heavily involve Kane too much and sully this feud. Big Show is one mean, well, I'm going to say mofo, but he wrote something else. Yeah. I think he's way better as a heel than a babyface, and I'm glad they did a good job of establishing him as a credible opponent for John Cena in their steel cage match tonight. The way he brutalized Clay and the tag champs tonight was just insane. John Laurinaitis and Vicky Guerrero continue to be bigger heat magnets than anyone in the company. Could we finally see Ziggler do something with his life as he was teasing a split from Vicky and Swagger tonight? Christian is a good IC champ, and I'd like to see him continue to feud with The Miz or possibly have a three-way dance for the title and have Cody Rhodes involved. Gotta say, Sheamus and Del Rio is doing nothing for me. There's just no reason at this point for me to be excited for this match. Keep up the good work. Send me the DVD.
So there you go. It's living proof that they did a good job selling Big Show tonight as a possible opponent to John Cena.
Other people are sharing what we think.
Interesting. Well, we have some time to build up to this pay-per-view, No Way Out, which is really nice, which is rare from what we're used to, you know, a 2 or 3 week build and then it's there. But, you know, this pay-per-view doesn't happen until the middle of June. So we got some really good time to make these even better. And I thought tonight, the matches that they are selling so far for No Way Out, I thought it was really, really, it's really well done so far.
No, I totally agree. You know, it's weird. It's almost like a 180 degree turn from last week. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, surprising what logical writing will do. And
yeah.
You know, what more do you got to say about that?
All right. I have one more listener email here, James.
Okay.
And this comes from Mitch Steinberg, who actually posted this on our Facebook page. No, he emailed us. Sorry. He wrote, so other than canceling SRL on a Monday night, what do you guys plan on doing when Raw moves to 3 hours?
Oh, yes.
And plans on airing at 9 p.m. exclusively, ending at midnight. That's on the Pacific Coast. How do you feel about the 6 p.m. start time we have had for years being moved to 9, with the possibility that Raw may not even be live in Canada anymore? And Mitch, you bring up a good point, because the Score Network in Canada, they have not officially announced that they're going to be carrying Raw live with this new 3 hours. I mean, I really begin to wonder if the WWE put any extra thought other than the USA Network, or, you know, if they really thought about anything else other than the USA
Network.
Like,
that's just insane. Do you really expect people up here in Canada to stay up till 12:30 on a work night to watch wrestling? Like, I mean, I know you and I will do it because we got to, but...
It's interesting.
And you're going to say about SRL?
I was going to say, as far as SRL on a Monday night, I don't know yet.
I think it might have to be SRL on a Tuesday night at this point.
SRL on a Tuesday morning, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. That'll wrap up SRL on a Monday night for tonight. Pretty good edition, I thought.
Pretty good, yep.
Now, we do have a winner for the 2011 WWE TLC pay-per-view, and I've drawn the names from random out of a hat, literally. And the winner tonight... Rob from Burns Lake.
Rob with the negative email wins the DVD.
A guy who you said can't write, James. That's pretty bad.
Well, hey, he walks away with a 2011 TLC DVD, so
there you go.
Can't be all that
and
bad.
And we have more to give out, so we'll give out another copy of the DVD on next week's SRL on a Monday night. So if you didn't win tonight, you got a couple more chances to try and do so.
That's right. Keep your ears posted.
We will be back Thursday for a full edition of Smack Talk Radio Live. If you want to find this show, you got to head on over to www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. If you're not on Twitter yet, you better do so. And when you do, add at SRL Radio. I'll get it one of these
Now, don't forget about our email that we've been plugging all show, on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. We got a lot more swag to give away, so keep sending us those emails, people.
By the fans, for the fans, this is SRL on a Monday night. I'm Corey Callahan.
I am James McDonald.
And we'll see you on Thursday.